Thank you, Miss Mary. Wonderful job as always. So tonight, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, I want to challenge us from Exodus chapter 40. Will be Exodus 40, 33 will be our springing off point. I love this scripture when we're thinking about the work of God that He did in the Old Testament, but I believe it's a lot of principles that we can take from that and apply to us today, because the Lord has a great work that He is doing and wants to do through Mountain City Baptist Church with more in the future. If the Lord continues to lead in the direction He is, there will be more avenues for you and I to serve in. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, will I do your part? Every person in this room has a part in the work of God at Mountain City Baptist Church. And I don't know what that part is, but you have a part. And I can assure you that that part is not to spectate, but it is to participate in some way, shape, or form. I promise you that. And once again, I praise the Lord for a church where this is not an issue. But I think it's great to be reminded of this and to challenge us to continue on, because I have seen churches in my life, and everybody in here, if you've been associated with church in your lifetime, you've seen 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. But I praise the Lord that at Mountain City Baptist Church that we do not have that issue in that way. But there is always more we can do, always greater ways that we can be a part of the work of God. So Exodus 40, verse 33, you can remain seated tonight, but Exodus 40, verse 33, this will be kind of our jumping off point as we look at the text in the book of Exodus. It says here, "And he, Moses, reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray you'd speak to us from it now. Open our ears to hear what you have to say to us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So as we think about, will you do your part? The first part, the first point, I guess I could say in the message tonight, are the requirements to be a part of the work. Because I mean, when I say the requirements to be a part of, I mean requirements to be an effective part of the work. Because anybody can hop in and be a part of what's going on at a church, but the question is, are you going to help it or are you going to hurt it? If you want to be an effective helping part of the work of God, we see three aspects of the requirements for that. And the first one is you must be saved. Salvation, that's the key. So many people today are serving in churches and they themselves don't know the Lord. I talked about that this morning. Church attendance and even church participation does not take the place of a true born-again relationship with the Lord. Exodus 35:1 says, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them." And who's ye? That is His people. His people is who He is talking to, who the work of God is for, those that are His. In the Old Testament, His people is focused on the people of Israel. And in the New Testament and all throughout the Bible, His people are those who have repented of their sins and placed their faith in the Lord. So the first requirement to be an effective part of the work of God is you've got to be saved, but also not only salvation, but purification. Once again, you can serve in the church and not be pure. I mean, I don't know if you're not living in open sin, I don't know what's going on in your heart and in your life, but you do. And if you want to be an effective, or I want to be an effective part of the work of God, we have got to strive by His grace to stay clean. Exodus 40, verse 12 says, "And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of congregation and wash them with water." Before they could serve in the tabernacle, they had to be clean. That's why we need to keep our sin list short. We need to stay pure before our Lord so that we can be an effective part of the work of God. Because if we're not an effective part of the work here at Mountain City Baptist Church, we're a hindrance. There's no middle ground there. We're either helping it spiritually or we're hurting it. So there must be salvation, must be purification, and there must be preparation, which we see this pictured in the priests again in Exodus 40, 13 through 15. It says, "And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons and clothe them with coats, and thou shalt anoint them as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations." So we see here there must be preparation for a believer. We must be clothed in Christ. We see that they had to have a special garment here. In the book of Exodus, chapter 40, verse 13, "shall put upon Aaron the holy garments." See, they had specific garments that they had to wear in order to serve the Lord and to be in the presence of the Lord in the tabernacle. Same thing for you and me as a child of God. If we are to serve the Lord, be a part of the work of God, the Bible tells us, "Put ye on," it says, "the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the Lord, to fulfill the lust thereof." We've got to put it on. I mean, it's a conscious choice to put on your clothes every day, isn't it? I mean, unless you just wake up and your clothes for work happen to be on you. I don't think anyone in this room that is the case. You make a conscious choice, "I'm going to put that on today." Same thing for us as children of God. We have got to make a choice every day to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, which we see in Ephesians 6. I won't read it, but Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, which is the armor of God. You put on Jesus, you're putting on your armor, you're putting on your protection. And that's what we need every day. If we're going to prepare ourselves for the work, we've got to be clothed in Christ, and we've got to be controlled by the Spirit. We see in verse 13 there, it says, "and anoint him." What's it say in 1 John to you and to me? It says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." We have an anointing. We have an unction. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, and we've got to strive to give him control. Now, once again, I look forward to, and I cannot wait whenever the Lord lets me get back in 1 Corinthians to talk about our glorified body. One day we'll be in complete and perfect submission to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And that's where Brother Howard's at right now. I mean, and that's where we will be. But until then, we've got a battle to fight, and we've got to surrender our will, ourself, to the Lord, to the Spirit. And then Romans 12:1, almost dealt with that tonight. Talks about present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your logical thing to do. When you look at what the Lord, and we talked about that this morning early, when you look at the Lord and you look at what he's done and you look at who he is, it's in your mind you'll realize that's the logical thing to do, is to give yourself to him. So we must be clothed in Christ, controlled by the Spirit, and then we will be conformed to his image. And we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. So we see the requirements: salvation, purification, preparation. But then we see, number two, there must be a recognition. And this is where you would be shocked to know that a lot of Baptists don't do this. I've seen it. They are oblivious to what's going on or to what needs to be done. If we are going to be an effective part of the work of God, we've got to recognize that there is a work to be done. We've got to recognize, hey, God's doing something and he wants me to be a part of it. In order to get work done, there must first be recognition of the work that needs to be done. And we see the work, we see the source of the work that we have here at Mountain City Baptist Church, and they had in Exodus chapter 35, verse 1, it says, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them." The command to do the work was given to Israel not by a man, but by the God of the universe. And the command for you and me at Mount City Baptist Church the work that has been given to us, which is to proclaim the gospel. And I praise the Lord I'm a part of a church that in everything that we do, be that a movie night or be that anything else we do, our goal is to proclaim the gospel and to create disciples. And shame on me for not having dug deeper into that aspect of it, but it is my prayer here in the near future to get deeper into discipling our church, our teenagers, our children, everyone in our church. But we've got the work came to us, or came to them from the Lord. It's given to us from the Lord. The strength for the work comes from the Lord. We see, I praise the Lord, He doesn't tell us to do something that He won't enable us to do. Exodus 31, 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and in understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship." So the strength to do the work came from the Lord. And this beautiful thing we see here, the talents that were given to Bezalel, I believe were developed before now. But I believe the Lord could have supernaturally given Bezalel the ability in that moment to do what needed to be done. But I believe God allowed Bezalel, as he grew up, to be developed into the man that God wanted him to be at the moment that God needed him to perform the work. What I mean by that is God has made you who you are, given you the talents that you have, whatever that may be, to use them for Him. Be that physical talents, which we all have different ones. Be that money, a job that the Lord has given us. He's given us the jobs that we have to meet the needs of our homes, but also to give to the work of God. God, just like Esther, in the book of Esther, it says that she was put in that position, the Bible says, for such a time as this. God has put you in where you're at in your life right now to be a part of His work right now. Giving you what you have, the abilities you have, the money you have, whatever it is that you have, God has brought you to this point so that you can participate in the work at Mountain City Baptist Church. The source of the work, the strength of the work comes from the Lord. And the specifics of the work, and I won't read them, you're welcome, is in chapter 24 through 40. I'm not going to read chapter 24 through 40 tonight, so you'll be happy to know that. But that's the specifics of the work. That's where it talks about the specifics of the tabernacle. And I know if you read that, the Lord is very, very painstakingly specific. But that should let us know that God has a very specific way that He wants things done. We don't do it our way. We do it God's way as given to us from the Scriptures. And when we do it God's way, He will honor it and He will show up and do something special. So we see there must be recognition that the work needs to be done, that there is work to be done, but also we see the remembrance. And we see in Exodus 35, 1 through 3, Exodus 31, 12 through 13 talks about the Sabbath day, and that was given to them to have a pause, a day of rest, but to a day to remember what God had done for them. That's why a lot of children of God today are not motivated to participate in the work of God, because they've forgotten what God has done for them. I mean, they know they've been saved, but when we're not thinking about something constantly, it's not really prevalent in our mind. It's not in the forefront. And that's why a lot of times, like we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that's why we lose our spiritual hunger. But we need to take, and Sundays are a great day to do that, because Sunday is the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day all day. I can say that. But on that day, I think we need to focus on the Lord. Take an opportunity to focus on, and then we should do it every day, but at least one day a week, focus on who He is and what He's done for us. I'm looking at a room, and if I could look at myself, we're looking at people that are low down, dirty, rotten scoundrels. And you may say, read your Bible close. That's a high view of all of us. I was not to me and to you. And God, in His mercy, did what He did for us, as we talked about this morning, drew us to Him, gave us the faith to trust Him,
and then forgave us of our sins, gave us the hope of heaven, and now He wants to use us. Us, of all people, me, of all people. See, when we take a step back and we meditate upon what He's done for us, remember what He's done for us, I believe it will motivate us to want to serve Him. And see, a lot of times we're like Israel. We really are. I mentioned a few weeks ago, we're 10-second Tom Christians. God does a great work, and then 10 seconds later, it's like it never happened. Israel was the same way. God split the Red Sea. But then when we talked about it last Sunday night, then they got in the wilderness. Oh, woe is me. Let's murmur against God and against Moses. We're going to die. You should have left us in Egypt. I mean, oh no, we're all going to die. That's just a few verses prior, God split the Red Sea. But we're just like Him. That's why every day we need to be constantly reminded of what He's done for us. Every day we need to ask Him, take us to Calvary. Hey, you know, did you know that you could go to Calvary and the tomb every day? Right here. Every day. You and your thoughts can be transported to the tomb and to the cross. And that makes me think about 1 Corinthians 15, because did you know that when we are in our glorified bodies, we'll be able to travel at the speed of thought? I'm telling you, I really want to preach that when the Lord will let me. But, I mean, it's some cool stuff that we're going to have. A very, very cool makeover. But I can't remember where I was going with that. It just got me. I just remember that thought, and it was really cool. Going to the cross and to the tomb. We could do that every day, and that will help us remember, and that will keep us motivated. And so what must the proper response be when we are considering what the Lord has done for us? We recognize there is a work to be done. We're saved, we're pure, we're prepared. What will our proper response be? First, I want to look at the means or how we are to give. Giving is the goal here. Giving of what, though? I mean, the obvious one, when you hear the word give, we should give of our treasures, our finances. That's why God gave them to us. They are to meet our need, the needs of our home, and to participate in the work of God. Sadly today, so many people, and I don't think I'm looking at a room of anybody that lives that way, but sadly so many people today live beyond their means. They may have a good job, but they have a house that's enough for them and three more families, and they can't participate in the work of God because they're drowning in debt. That is not the way God designed it. If He gave you a good job, He gave you that good job so that you can give more to the work of God. Now, I'm not saying He doesn't want you to have your wants, because as we all know, I'm sure every person in this building, here recently probably, God's given you multiple wants. I mean, God's good to us. But we need to realize that God has given us what we have specifically in this we're talking about right now, financially. God gave it to us to give to Him. Exodus 35, 4 through 9 talks about here, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart." That's a key, willing heart. "Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and the oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones." Hey, see that our names were in the Bible, and this, I think this is one of the ones we used. And like, I know his name's Onyx. I mean, this is one of the verses we used to think of the name. I made it sound like, let's just move on. "An onyx stone and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate." So we see there that an offering was to be given. And I won't dig deeply into this. But chapter 12, remember, as they were coming out of Egypt, they ransacked the Egyptians. They sure did. God said, "They're going to pay you to leave." And that's exactly what they did. They were flooded with things from the Egyptians. "Get out of here. Take this. Take that. Get out." So when God saved them, guess what? He gave them the means in that moment to meet the needs of God's plan. God was preparing them for His work. That's exactly what God is preparing Mountain City Baptist Church to do. Think about your job. Think about your talents. Think about your money. God has given us myself included, what we have so that we can be a part of His work. That's a beautiful thing that God would want to use us. My, that the God of the universe would want to use us. So we should give of our treasures. We should give of our talents. And we already talked about this. God has given us the abilities that we have to use for Him. And you may have hidden talents that I don't even know about. See, a lot of people are good at hiding what they're good at. Especially Baptists. Not here, but I've seen it. Where they sit on the sidelines, where they bolt out the door when there's stuff to be done, because if they know that they show what they're good at, then they'll be asked to do it. But guess what? That's why God made you good at that, to use it for Him. And I also believe that the talents that you have, if God gave them to you to use for Him and you don't use them for Him, I have treasures. We should give of our talents. Here's a big one. We should give of our time. I won't harp on this long, but Matthew 6:33, but seek ye, what's that say? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Place in every aspect of our life, including our time, should God get. Let me hear it. I heard one person say first. One person said first. What place should we give the Lord in our time?
First.
There we go. Three of you. Praise the Lord. Everybody else is mute. My goodness. First. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. With our talents. With our treasures. With our time. And that is the complete opposite of what our flesh wants. That is complete opposite of what the world does. And we've got to fight it every day. Our flesh is selfish. You say, well, I'm not. And I said, praise the Lord, good for you. But my flesh is selfish. If I let it have control, I want what Tyler wants to be first. I want to use my money for me first. I want to use my talents for me to make me look good. But the Lord wants just the opposite. He wants us to give Him first in our time. If the Lord has something to do here at Mount City Baptist Church, if at all possible, we need to prioritize that. Not give it the sloppy seconds and say, well, if I've got extra time that day, I'll come be a part of that. And some things, you may not have the talents to be a part of what it is. I'm not going to get Carrie to come out and put insulation in the new addition and carry 12-foot sheetrock. I'm not going to do that. She doesn't have the talents to do that. But some people do. And those people that do, God gave you that talent to do that. And that being said, here real soon, any men that wasn't a purposeful segue. I didn't mean to, but hey, we're there. The Lord led us there. But any men that know how to not the sheetrock part. Don't get scared away. Everybody said I'm never coming back to this church. But the insulation part. Any men with the expertise, we're going to do that part. I say we. I am a go-getter, a carrier. I'm the grunt guy. I have no expertise in that area. I'm a good moral support. You guys go, baby. That's as good as I do. But I will do what I can to help the work. But any men that can, here soon we will be putting in the insulation. Soon as in Friday, Saturday. And I'll have more information on that coming up. Probably send an all call about it. And everybody like, oh, I didn't hear that all call. That's what I'll get. Man, I missed that and missed me. Must have been out of service when that came through. Hey, don't lie to me. Everyone in here, I know deep down that's what you want. I've done it. I've done it too, okay? We're just being honest here tonight, okay? But we got to give Him first. And I promise you, if you do that, and your flesh doesn't want to, and you may be tired, and you may have stuff you want to do with your family, and you should prioritize your family, not over the Lord, but it goes God, family, church, and that's the order of our investments too, our investments of our time, our talents, our treasures, God, family, church, but let's not make our family an idol that keeps us from putting the Lord first. So we've got to give of our time, talents, treasures, give of the first of those things. In what manner should we give? Oh, and here is the one. And the principles in the New Testament. First, we should give voluntarily. God's not going to come rip it from your fingers. Although, I've seen, in regards to the tithe, I've heard people in my life say, I thought 1 month I couldn't afford to tithe. And then wouldn't you know it, their car broke down. And how much was it to fix the car? Exactly how much their tithe was. God said, okay, you don't want to give it to me, I'll get it somewhere else. I say that about the tithe because preachers always say that's God's money, and that's true. And and that's one thing you can't afford not to do is tithe. But I'm not going to harp on that. But we've got to give voluntarily. God's not going to come rip it from our fingers. And here's a big one. We should give joyfully. I've seen some Baptists, they gave. And this isn't here. I know I'm fairly young, but I've seen a lot in churches throughout my life. And I've seen Baptists give, but man, they did it with a sour look on their face. Wow. And I'm thinking, well, maybe you shouldn't have give. God would, if you're going to be so mad about it, maybe you should just keep it in your pocket. But and it's not just of your money. I mean, that's the one thing we think of giving, but of your time as well. I mean, people come to help and work days, but they're in a terrible mood the whole time they're there. I mean, I've seen that. Hey, if whatever we're doing for the Lord, if we're giving financially, if we're participating in the work, we're giving of our time, let's do it with joy in our hearts because we're doing it as unto the Lord. If we're carrying sheetrock or putting in insulation or cleaning the toilets or changing the paper towel dispensers or getting rid of the trash, let's do it with a smile on our face. That is all a part of the work of God here. Well, you say, well, how is taking out the trash not a part of the work of God? Let's try not taking it out for a few weeks, not touching it. Hey, I tried that back in my college days. It stays there, and it just piles up. And that would affect the work of Mountain City Baptist Church, would it not? I mean, small stuff like that. Every part needs to be done to make the work happen. So we should give voluntarily, joyfully, and liberally. You can never go wrong giving more, whatever it is, of your time, of your talents, of your treasures to the Lord. Never go wrong. All He's going to do is bless you more for it. Now, I'm not saying if you give more that He's going to make you a millionaire and give you that Lamborghini you wanted, but I mean, spiritually, I believe more often than not, the best blessings we get from the Lord are spiritual blessings, where God just does something special for us or encourages us when we need it most. Give liberally. I love this scripture, John 6:38. I encourage you to write it down and remember. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met with all, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I've asked this question before here. If that's the gauge, if you get back what you give, how much would you get back? I know a lot of Baptists that would have empty pockets. That's a good question we need to ask. If we get back what we give, how much would we get back? That's the manner and the means by which we should give. And what is the result? If we'll do it the right way, if we'll meet those requirements by God's grace, if we'll recognize there's a work to be done, if we'll give in all the means that we mentioned and in the right manners, we see a wonderful, wonderful result. I'm not going to read it, but Exodus 35 there, 20 through 35, the people of Israel gave of themselves, gave of what they had with a willing heart, the Bible talks about. They gave. They gave all that God asked of them, and we see the result of that in Exodus 40, verses 34 through 38. And let me take a step back and say this. People who participate in the work that is being done, when God shows up and does something special because of that work, it means more to them. Because I've been a part of great youth meetings, and you can see who participated in that work, preparing for it, getting ready for it, doing the work, and who did not. When God moved, you could see who God was blessing, God was touching, God was speaking to, and who was...
When are we getting out of here? What are we eating for supper?
I mean, stuff like that. When you participate in the work, when you give of your... I mean, when something you're invested in, when God blesses it, it blesses you that much more. When you invest in something and you see God do a great work, it is a great encouragement. And that's exactly what God did here. They did as God commanded them. And we see in verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Is that not our goal? That God show up? And not just that God show up, but see, when God shows up, if God truly shows up, every person in the building is affected. Every person that comes around somebody that's been affected by that is affected. When God shows up, if God were to show up here because we gave to the work of God as He asks us to in His Word, every person we come into contact with will be affected. Just as Moses, when he was in the presence of God, you could literally see it on his face. It was so bright he had to cover his face. Do people see the Lord on us so much so? Lost people, they don't want to. When you're walking close to the Lord, a lost person may not want to be around you too long. Somebody that's running from God or a believer that's not where they need to be with the Lord, they're not going to want to be around you because they see the Lord on you. God wants to show up. But will we be obedient and give of our time, our talents, our treasures so that He can do what He wants to do? Not just for this. Not just for other ministry opportunities. I'm just saying wherever God wants you to give, give there. And you will not regret it. And He'll show up. And He'll do special things in your life. I promise you that. He's been faithful to me. Every time I've ever given in the right manner, so you can give in the wrong way and it be a waste. If you give in the right way, as God commands you to, God has blessed every single time. And I promise you, if you give sacrificially, financially, I know that's when you hear the word give, that's what you hear. You won't regret it. And the Lord will always take care of you. He will always meet your needs. He'll bless you beyond measure. Just as we saw in Luke 6:38. He's going to, not only will He fill you up, but He'll fill you up and running over. That's what the Bible says. The question is, will we do our part? I can't tell you what your part is. But you know how you find out what your part is? You don't sit on the sidelines and wait, well, when the Lord tells me what my part is, I'll hop in. No, hop in the work, and as you're doing the work, you'll say, I mean, this is where the Lord wants me, or this is not where I need to be. I mean, I had a, just an example of that. I thought for about a month when I was in my early 20s, I thought, maybe I want to be a school teacher like my mom. Maybe I do. So I was like, I'm going to be a substitute teacher. I'm going to be a substitute teacher, and then I'm going to fall in love with teaching, and I'm just going to be a teacher. Well, guess how many times I substitute taught? 2 half days, which makes 1 full day, and I never substitute taught again. Doing it helped me understand. I love the church aspect of it. I love being around kids at church, but in a schoolroom setting, help me, Lord. I'm going to have trouble with the schoolroom setting with my kids, and this is going to be my 3. So, but yeah, that's how you learn. That's how you get plugged in. Every person in the Bible that God called to do great things were already serving when God called them to do it. Every time. I mean, they were already working, and God called them from that work to be a part of His work or in a different area of His work. Hey, until you know for sure, hop in any way you can. Volunteer yourself. And don't volunteer to do something and say you'll do it, but then you realize that's not what the Lord would have you do, but then keep saying you'll do it and not do it. That kind of puts the church in a bind. But say, hey, I don't feel like this is where the Lord would have me. Maybe you should give that to somebody else. Be honest, okay? Honesty is key. It's okay. So it's okay if you tell me that I don't feel the Lord is leading me in that way. Now, if it's like sharing the gospel or doing stuff that we're all commanded to do, I can say, well, we're all supposed to be a part of that. But if it's like hanging the insulation, it's okay if some of you are like, hey, that's just not my cup of tea. Miss Doris, I won't be mad if you don't help us with insulation. I won't be mad at all. But you see what I'm saying there. Hop in, join the work, and as you're serving, everybody's laughing at Miss Doris. Everybody just picture Miss Doris putting up insulation in there. Miss Doris, we're not going to cut you loose with a staple gun. We don't want any casualties, but just hop in on the work, volunteer yourself, and as you serve, God will make clear where you fit in, and you'll find what the part of the body that He wants you to serve in. That's the whole goal. Each of us here has a specific part in the body of Mount City Baptist Church that He wants you to fulfill. It may be the pinky toe. I'm not going to tell that story. Everyone knows it. I love all the kids. Yeah, you was riding a pink scooter and broke your pinky toe. Yeah, that's what happened. But a pinky toe was very important when it was broken. God's got something for you. He's got a part for you in this work until you find it. Hop in and serve. And as you serve, He'll show you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Miss Mary comes to the piano.